Please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. In your Scofield Bible, page 1247. 1247. We'll be reading the first 9 verses of this chapter, with the 9th verse being the text verse for this morning's message. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as is our custom here at First Baptist. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let's finish on the text verse together. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
I'm going to read just a verse or two. You need not turn to it to add to what we read a while ago. My title of my message is simply 3 words, in due season. We read a while ago, be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season. Don't forget that, folks. Due season is going to come. Due season is going to come to the believer who's faithful. It's going to come to the sinner who's unfaithful. Due season will come. I'm using that term concerning what I think is the greatest man, not the greatest Christian, but the greatest leader, the greatest man in all the Bible, Moses. I want to read these verses to you by faith. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Before I pray, I want to bring you up to date. Moses' life is divided into 3 divisions, each 40 years in duration. Moses, the first 40 years of Moses' life, in his preparation, so forth, you know the story, how he went to the palace and he could have been the king of Egypt. Second 40 years of his life, mysteriously, he had to spend that 40 years of his life alone on the desert. I say alone, I mean he lived in the desert for 40 years. And the third 40 years of his life was spent in leading the Israelites from Egypt to the door of the Promised Land, and there he went up to Mount Nebo and died in the Valley of Moab because he had smitten the rock twice. But I want to talk to you about that second 40-year period of his life. 40 years in the desert. 40 years. I want to talk to you about Moses and the text and title of the sermon, In Due Season. I hope you'll listen carefully. I've said it often, behind the face of every adult is a broken heart. There's a reason this morning why everybody in this, each person in this room could cry instead of laugh. I want to talk to you about this little matter in due season. I think it'll encourage you. Father, for 36 and a half years I've stood behind this same piece of wood. For 36 and a half years, I've tried to help carry the burdens, lift, even help lift them. I've tried to encourage. teach, preach, challenge, exhort, yes, even rebuke, and preach the word. Now this morning I pray you'd help me uniquely to be a help to thy people, yea, our people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Forty years is longer than I have been pastor of this church. 40 years is exactly the number of years that Moses spent trying to straighten up this microphone. I'll put it like that. How's that? That's for you to say amen on. And it's for me to preach on. 40 years is a long time. I got to get it straight. I'll go crazy if I don't get that straight. If I go crazy, you'll go crazy. 40 years is a long time. As I said, longer than I've been pastor of First Baptist Church. That thing's not straight yet. At least I'm getting your attention. You folks in our class last night know why I'm doing this. I wonder how many times Moses wondered why. 40 years. That's 480 months. That's 2,080 weeks. That's 14,600 times he woke up in the morning in the desert. 14,600 times he went to bed in the desert. Here's a man that could have been the king of Egypt. Here's a man that gave up the scepter of Egypt, the crown royal, the throne, the royal robe, and the honor of being the king of the great Egyptian empire. I guess Moses thought he would die there. In the wilderness, don't leave me, 40 years. 40 long years in the wilderness for a man who could have been sitting on the throne of Egypt. No doubt he felt he would die in Egypt. All he did was learn the desert. That's all he did. In 40 years, he learned every valley of that desert. In 40 years, He learned every mountain in that desert, every creek, every lake, every hill, every winding trail, every raging stream, every jagged rock. That's all he did. But Moses became acquainted with that desert. I'm sure that these were supposed to have been his best years. We're talking about a man, the middle 40 years of his life. In his case, the middle life, middle age. 40 years in the desert. I'm sure how many mornings he got up and said, why? Why do I have to spend my life, the best years of my life, in this arid, forsaken wilderness and desert? Again, you'd go to bed at night and look up at the stars and say, why do I have to spend the best years of my life in this desert? He spent nights near Sinai. He spent days and nights near Horeb or in Horeb. He spent days and nights living in the desert. He had seen and tasted, no doubt, the bitter waters of Marah for 40 years. Why? 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 For 40 years. Suddenly, God comes to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to lead my people. Moses says, where to? He says, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt, the promised land. And Moses says, that's across the very desert where I spent 40 years.
And God said, why do you think I left you out there for 40 years? I wanted you to lead 2 or 3 or 3.5 million Jews across that very desert. And all of a sudden Moses said, now I know. Now I know. Now I know the lonely nights at the foot of Sinai. Now I know the lonely days on the desert. Now I know why those 40 years were spent. God needed somebody to know everything about that desert, to lead God's chosen people from the land of Egypt 40 years more in that desert. And Moses said, now I know. He crosses the Red Sea. He sees that desert in front of him and sees that that desert's between him and the promised land. And Moses says, now I know. Now, wait a minute. It took him 40 years to find out. 40 years. Why? Why? 40 years of, I wonder why. I wonder why. I wonder why. 480 months of wondering why. 2,080 weeks of wondering why. 14,600 days of wondering why. But ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you. One day, in due season, we find out why. And God said, Moses, I want you now, you've crossed the Red Sea, go across that desert. And I'm sure Moses smiled and said, now I know. Now I know. God said, Moses, take that rod and go to Horeb and smite that rock. And Moses said, where? He said, Horeb. Well, Moses, I know everything about Horeb. He took that rock and or that rod and smote that rock in Horeb. And water gushed out to take care of the needs for 3.5 million Jews. Moses said, now I know. Now I know. I know why now. God said to Moses, he said, I want you to go to Mount Sinai. I want you to go up the top. I want to give you the tablets of stone. And Moses finds his way up Mount Sinai. He knows every stone on that mountain. He knows almost every reptile on that mountain. He knows the way. Nobody, he knew that wilderness like he knew the back of his own hand. And then he said, now I know. Now I know why I spent 40 years on Sinai. Now I know why I spent 40 years out here in the desert. Now I know why I spent 40 years in Horeb. Now I understand. Just like you're wondering why you're enduring what you're enduring today. At first, folks ratted to you. At first, when your little boy was found in a swimming pool, face down, and left in a comatose state, folks thought about you. Folks ratted to you then. The whole church was shaken, but now it's commonplace. How many cards have you received this week? How many phone calls of sympathy have you received after 2 years of that little boy being in that comatose state? And you say, why? You bathe that little body, a little face that stares at you, but never says anything to you. You talk to him, but he doesn't talk to you. He just stares at you. And you wonder why. Why? 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 I don't know why, but I want to give you 3 words. In due season. In due season. It took Moses 40 years to find out why, but in due season he found out why. It took him 40 years to wonder why he slept beneath the stars of the desert of sin for these 40 years. But he found out why when he went up on mountain and took the tablets of stone and smote the rock in Horeb and water gushed out and crossed the Red Sea and entered into that wilderness and led those Jews for 40 years. He found out why. It may take you 40 years to find out why, but you will find out why. At first, they read it to you. Now they seem to have forgotten. But you're still paralyzed. You're still in a wheelchair this morning. We first found out about your fall. The church was shocked. We first found out the fact that you're paralyzed, may never walk again. We were shocked, but we're used to it now. We've seen you in the wheelchair. We know about it. And folks have pretty well forgotten. But the truth is, you're still paralyzed and you're still in a wheelchair. You're still abandoned by your husband. Your wife is still in the rest home. Your husband still has his stroke. Your child is still retarded. You're still a widow. You're still crippled. And you, like Moses, see the minutes become hours. and the hours become days, and the days become weeks, and the weeks become months, and the months become years, and yet you still wonder why you wash that little boy and bathe him at night and wonder why? Why can't my boy be in school? Why can't my boy have a normal life? Why can't my boy on Valentine's Day have a big time? Why can't my boy play on the basketball team? Why can't my boy run and play? Why is it my body that's in a wheelchair? Why can't I go to church? Why can't I go to work? Why? I don't know why, but in due season, Moses found out why. You ask. And by the way, you don't pastor a church 36 and a half years without knowing the heartbreaks. And I scanned this crowd on Sunday morning, and I cannot look in a single section without finding heartbreaks. In the last 15 seconds, I've seen parents whose daughters given birth to illegitimate child. Just scanning this crowd in the last 15 seconds, I've seen folks who have children who are retarded and children who are crippled. In the last 15 seconds spanning this crowd, I've seen ladies who are forsaken by their husbands, who have to rear their children by themselves. And the question comes, why? And you ask the question, is there a reason? Turn me down just a bit, please. Is there a reason? And I answer, yes, there's a reason. You ask, will I ever know the reason? And I answer, yes, you will know the reason. And you ask, when will I know the reason? And I say, I don't know when you'll know the reason. It may take 40 years. But you'll find out. Moses led those Israelites to the door of the promised land. He couldn't go in. He went up on Mount Nebo and looked out and saw the promised land. And he saw, no doubt, his own people as they went over. And Moses said, now I know why. There had to be somebody who knew every nook and cranny of this desert. You won't learn this desert in a week. You won't learn this desert in a month. You won't learn this desert in a year. 40 years. Moses said, now I know why. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm old enough and I've lived long enough to know that our God has a reason for everything He does for His children. I wonder how many mornings in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas I looked up and drew tears to my mother's eyes and saw them as they washed her cheeks. As I looked up and said, Mama, why don't I have a daddy at home? Mama'd pat me on the head and say, son, you'll find out why someday. I looked up at Mother and said, Mother, why are we so poor? Why do other children have shoes that are new and I don't have any shoes? Why do other children have clothes that are nice and new and I don't have new clothes? Why don't we have food in our kitchen? Why don't we have an outhouse in the backyard? Why don't we have electric lights in our house? Why don't we have a stove in our house? Why? A wood stove. Why? And I'd say, Mother, why are we in the ghettos? Why are we so poor? Why is Daddy an alcoholic? Why did Daddy leave? Why can't we have what others have? I know now. I know now. Because God wanted to send that little boy in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas to the great Chicago area. And God wanted somebody to care for thousands and hundreds of thousands of little boys and girls that have no shoes. And little bus kids that have no dad at home. And people that are living in hell on earth. I know what it's like, ladies and gentlemen. And today, I'd like to say hallelujah. Thank God for my childhood. And thank God for my poverty. I know why now. And someday, you'll know why. Mama, why are there cracks in our floor to where a snake crawled up through our floor and crawled through our little shack of a house? Why? Why, Mother, is it Thanksgiving Day and we have nothing to eat? Why, Mother? Why? 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 I didn't know then. I didn't know for years, but I know now. Praise God, there needed to be a church in the Chicago area that cares about those little ghetto-bound kids over in Chicago. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as long as Dr. Jack Howes pastors First Baptist Church of Hammond, there will be a church in Chicago that cares about those people. There will be a church that cares about those rescue mission men. There will be a church that cares about those deaf people. There will be a church that cares about those blind people. There will be a church that cares about those homeless people up there. I know why. I know why. And thank God. Thank God. He is a why God. In due season, you're going to find out why.
My mother asked why. Why was, she asked, was my mother taken when I was only a little girl? Why did I have to quit school at the age, I think at 9 or 10, long in there? Why did I just get to go to the third grade? Why couldn't I go to school, my mother asked? Why did I have to go and take care of my dad and cook and take care of the house for my father and my two brothers? Why couldn't I have a normal childhood? Why couldn't I be in school? Why couldn't I be in the Sunday school choir? Why couldn't I go to the school activities? Why can't I go to school? Why can't I be like all the other girls? I learned something the other day I never knew. My sister told me. It's the only thing she ever knew that I didn't know. I learned not only, you've heard about my mother's life, but I did not realize that my mother, when she was a child, had a little sister near her age who died also. Now get this. A little sister who died. And then as a junior girl, her mother died. They sent her to her grandmother to live with her grandmother, and in a few months, her grandmother died. Gets married at the age of 17, has a baby at 18, 7 years later, that baby dies. Has a second baby, 7 years later, that baby dies. Why? Why, asked Coastal Hiles, why all of this? You just keep on serving God, Coastal. There'll be an answer in due season.
Why? Why did the depression take our little store? Why did depression drive us to bankruptcy? Why did my husband turn to liquor? Why did my husband leave us without being cared for? Why did I have to work for all those years in a public school lunchroom to feed my boy? Why? I'll tell you when she found out why. When she sat right there one Sunday morning and a man stood up here and gave me a little plaque that said, this is the largest Sunday school in the world. And my mother looked and saw that daughter there in full-time service for God and her son pastoring America's greatest church. Now she knows why. And you'll know why too. You'll know why. Hallelujah! In due season. Well, he's a Christian. He's having it pretty tough. You wait till due season gets here. He says, I'm living for the devil and I've got a good job. Due season's going to come. Yeah, but I don't go to church and he does and I have more money than he does. Due season's going to come. Due season's going to come, Antichrist. Due season's going to come, Madeline Murray O'Hare. Due season's going to come, Jesse Jackson. Due season's gonna come, Hugh Hefner. Due season's gonna come, Jane Fonda. Due season's gonna come, Hollywood. Due season's gonna come. But thank God for the child of God, due season's gonna come also. 40 years. 40 long years. Desert. Snakes. Beasts. Heat. For him who could have had carpeting, royal carpeting neath his feet, and royal tapestry at his eyes, a royal crown on his brow, and a royal scepter in his hand, and a royal robe on his back. And there the would-be king of Israel. 40 years. Why? I'll tell you why, Moses. You've got to lead some people across this desert, and you've got to learn this desert. Don't you think he had a shouting time when he looked out and saw that desert and realized why God had left him there for all those years? Why must... It's a lady in the choir here who was reared in a middle-class home. Her father owned a feed store business. Not wealthy, but comfortable. Why must she marry a poor kid? And why must she live in a room 6x12? And why must she have to share a restroom with eight other couples using the same restroom, not at the same time? Why must that little girl, reared in a middle-class home, all of a sudden have to stand in line with whatever cooking she's going to do, sharing one kitchen with eight other couples? Sharing one dining room with eight other couples and lived in a little room 6x12. Why? Why? Why must she have to wash our clothes on her knees over a bathtub with a rub board? Why can't she have a nice washing machine? Why can't she have a dryer? Why does she have to live like that? Why does she, as a teenage girl, got married? No doubt, we don't think too young, but we would advise you to get married that young. We're the exception. Why did she wear feed sack dresses made of feed sacks? They did have to change the shape of the sack. Why did she almost have to starve to death? And why does that little girl reared in a middle-class home have to fight battles for all these years that we've had to fight? I'm saying, why? I don't know why. I didn't know why then, but I know why now. Because she had to influence hundreds of preachers' wives who come to college and live in abject poverty and put up with some little shaggy apartment. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there is a why. You say, when will I find out? I don't know, but you will find out. It may be 40 years, but you'll find out. Moses did. So be patient, Moses. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Be patient, young Jack Hiles. There's a reason why you're in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. That wood stove there is for a reason. That outhouse in the backyard is there for a reason. That well off the back porch is there for a reason. That kerosene lamp is there for a reason. I'll tell you someday. Let me stop and praise His name this morning. I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of little boys and girls in the ghettos of this old area up here have come to Christ because we lived in a little shack down in Southwest Dallas. In due season. In due season. Live it up, Christ rejecter. In due season, you'll get paid. Live it up, liquor drinker. In due season, you'll get paid. Live it up, Hollywood. Live it up, Hugh Hefner. Live it up, Playboy. Live it up, Penthouse. Live it up, dope heads. Live it up, queers. Live it up. But our God is a due season God. Be you not weary in well doing. Lonely one. Be patient, young coastal Hiles. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Be patient, young Beverly Hiles. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Be patient, broken-hearted parent. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. By the way, you young couples here, with all your zeal for God and all you have is a few little kids in the nursery, don't you be too impatient with older people whose children have broken their hearts. In due season. In due season. Be patient, forsaken wife. I grew up at the knees of one. I know the tears. I know the lonely hours. I know what it's like to see her get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go catch a bus and ride a bus, then transfer to another, then transfer to another, and work all day and get home at 8 o'clock at night only to get up 4 o'clock the next morning after she's washed and ironed and cleaned what little house we had. I know what it's like. Be patient, Mama. In due season. In due season. It may be a year, you'll find out why. It may be 20 years, you'll find out why. Or like Moses, it may be 40 years and you'll find out why.
But you will find out why. Be patient, Tim and Becky McCurdy. Be patient. Be patient while you wash the little boy who can't say thank you. Be patient while you sing happy birthday and he can't blow out the candles. Be patient when he can't run and play with the others. Be patient when the junior high or the grade school has a little basketball team and he'll not play on it. You listen carefully to me. You not listen today to some young preacher that thinks he's right. You're listening today to a grizzled old veteran who knows what he's talking about. I preached Tuesday tonight, the National Bus Convention. Sitting right down here on the front row with Dr. Tom Malone. Sitting over here on my left was Dr. Lee Robertson. Sitting right back there and about halfway back was Dr. Bob Gray, who pastored the church in Jacksonville, Florida for 38 years. Sitting up in the balcony was Tremendous Jones and others. And I made this statement. I said, I had dreams that when I got to be an older preacher, I could be a patriarch. I appointed Dr. Robertson. I said, like you, Dr. Robertson. I had dreams that I could spend my last years as a patriarch, loved by everybody. Hasn't turned out that way for me. My last years are spent in battles. As I said Wednesday night, I aim to fight till I die for that book right there. I aim to fight for that King James Bible till I die. Hasn't turned out for me. And I've looked up and I've said many times, why? I don't understand it. Why? I can't tell you all the whys. But I can tell you somebody who knows the whys. And I can tell you somebody that in due season will tell us why. Can you imagine how Moses felt? The Israelites said, this looks dangerous, Moses said. You calm yourself. I've lived here 40 years. But
we've heard of the serpents that are so dangerous.
Moses said, be calm. I know the route around where the serpents are.
But how about the wild beast?
Moses said, know them all by their first names. And as Moses led those Israelites across that wilderness, I wonder how many nights he remembered, I used to sleep here by myself and wonder why have I got to stay here. The good thing about having to wonder why is the fun you get when you find out why. Be patient, Tim and Betty. Be patient, Randy and Mrs. Rogers. Be patient. In your youth, young couple, painting contractor, painting the side of a house and fell off the scaffold, landed in such a way it paralyzed him, and the doctor says, paralyzed from here down for life. Why?
I don't know why. I don't know.
But there's one thing I know, as much as I know that my name is Jack Hiles, I know there is a why.
We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose.
I'm talking to a lot of whys this morning. I'm talking to a lot of Moses. Your desert may be a wife in a rest home. You shared life together. You shared in child rearing together. You shared the same home, the same table, the same bed. And now she's taken or he's taken. And you go out as often as you can and spend a little while and go back to the car by yourself and say, why? Go back inside the house where once you shared with her and ask why. And you go at the table and sit there alone and ask why. And you go to bed and remember that she used to be beside you and you ask why? I don't know why, but hallelujah, I know Him who knows why. Just don't be weary. I want you to go back and see what God said to Galatians. He said, don't be weary in well-doing.
Didn't say don't be weary. Don't be well doing. He says keep on doing well while you're asking why. Keep on running your bus route while you're asking why. Keep on building your Sunday school class while you're asking why. Keep on winning souls while you're asking why. Keep on serving God while you're asking why. For in due season. I've lived almost all of my 80. I'm asking God. I'm writing a new Bible. I'm changing that to 80. I got as much right to write one as all these other Bibles have too. You give me, let's see, March, April, May, June, July. Give me 7.5 months. And my 80's up. I don't plan to quit. I plan to keep on going as long as I can crawl to this pulpit. But I know what I'm talking about. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There's a why. There's a why. Most of you would not even go to heaven if I hadn't been reared in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. Because most of you would never have heard the gospel. Thousands of people would never have heard the message of Christ. There's a why. I don't know what your wilderness is. I don't know what your desert is. Maybe it's a desert of an incurable disease, like Dr. Evans has. It'll never take his life, but it'll make his life miserable, much of it. In due season, you'll know why. Maybe your desert's cancer, like Mrs. Evans has. You don't know if you're going to be alive this time next year or not, and you ask the question why. In due season, you'll find out why. Maybe your desert's the news that your daughter told you that she's pregnant and she's not married. Or maybe your desert is the fact that you're the daughter and you made a mistake and you're not basically a bad person. You just made a mistake and now you've got to, for 9 months, go through hell and then go to the jaws of death and bring forth a baby you maybe you'll never see again. And you say, why? I don't know why, but I know Him who knows why. I don't know what your desert is this morning. Maybe your desert's a broken heart. He left you for somebody else. You've got to take care of all the duties of mother and father. Maybe your desert's the fact that you're one of the children of that little lady. Maybe your desert's the fact that your wife left you. The woman that you loved, she left you for somebody else. Maybe your desert's a fact that you're deaf. You'll never hear a whippoorwill. You'll never hear the sound of a stream or the rush of a mountain, of a mountain stream or the rush of an ocean. You'll never hear an I love you. You'll never hear the church choir sing. You'll never hear your pastor's voice, and you'll never hear your husband say I love you. You'll never hear the sound of a cricket on a summer night. That's your desert. But you'll find out why. Maybe your desert this morning is a rescue mission bed. How you got where you are, you don't quite understand it. I mean, you didn't plan it like this. But all of a sudden you found yourself stumbling into a rescue mission. A nice bed. A warm meal. Some clean clothes. Some clean sheets, a nice towel. And you ask yourself, why? Maybe that's your desert this morning. Maybe your desert today is the fact that your mind did not quite develop like others did. Maybe it's the fact that you're a pathfinder, as loved over the house as anybody in this church. Or maybe your desert's the fact that one of these pathfinders is your child or your loved one. Maybe that's your desert. I don't know what your desert is, but I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, 40 years after Moses entered that desert, Moses found out why. Well, you say, what am I supposed to do between now and then? Well-doing. Well-doing. You remember that day, and I'll close with this.
when I was facing the toughest day of my life, I stood before you and I said, folks, I've got to ask you to do something for me. You've got to keep needing me. Keep coming by the office and letting me counsel with you. Keep coming for help. I've got to feel like you need me. Well doing. Well doing. Well doing. Keep on well doing. And in due season, you reap if you faint not. Moses, there's a reason. 40 long years. Every serpent you've heard hiss. Every beast that's tried to attack you. Every lonely night beneath the stars and every hot night beneath the blistering sun. There's a reason, Moses. I can't tell you now, but I'll tell you later in due season. Hang in there. Just hang in there. That little child you're rearing by yourself, he may be the next Lee Robertson. It could be bad, though. It could be the next Roy Moffitt, too. It's not your day, is it, Roy? But hang in there. Just tie a knot at the end of the rope and hang in there. In due season, you'll reap. And you'll find out why. Father,